You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on another episode of the Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Hopefully the Twins fans like me because they get a lot of me on these podcasts.
Yeah?
did the TV do with Ben, and now we're doing the Minute here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing that one. You know, it's one of the few ones that I haven't been on, so I'm looking forward to enjoying other people's voices. You know, the Twins have an interesting system. They've got some guys that I think will have some real impact, and then some just guys.
Yeah, and I think the guys who you think are going to have impact are probably just going to be guys. And you know what I mean? And the other way around, like, I'm not particularly high on a lot of the guys on the top end of the system, but I like some of the deeper ones. So
okay. Well, before we jump into that, I want to remind everybody you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. And hit us up, because we're always down to answer questions. Let's start with guys that are close to the majors. Anybody who might be close to the majors that could be interesting for a redraft or short-term keeper leagues, things like that.
Sure. Close to the majors. Well, I mean, I guess I don't think he debuts this year, but he already debuted last year, so I'll talk about somebody else here. I'll go Adalberto Mejia, your boy from the Giants, for Eduardo Nunez. I think Mejia is just a back-end guy. I mean, he's not the most exciting profile. He probably gets about eight strikeouts per inning. Has above-average slider, a curveball, a changeup, just pounds the zone. He had a problem with his weight when he was in San Francisco, and he was on the Pablo Sandoval weight regimen, and whether that worked or not, I mean, the frame looks a little better. The delivery he's able to repeat now because he's more consistent in his mechanics because of the being in shape and being in a better physical condition. The changeup is the pitch here. It's above average offering. He literally looks like he pulls a string on guys. That's the out pitch. The fastball and slider are probably average offerings for Mejia. And like I said, he's probably limited to back end. He could creep up into mid rotation if he learns how to, you know, pitch the contact a little more and use the defense. Maybe not from a fantasy like realm, but he can be a guy that gets a lot of ground balls and doing all that. But he's had a tumultuous development history. Obviously, like I said, with the weight, he has a PED suspension on his resume for a banned weight supplement. So he's probably a guy, but I really kind of think he's a good fit in Minnesota. So.
All right. Any other guys that are close to the major leagues?
JT Chargois. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I just know it looks like it's French or Cajun or something like that. So I'm going with it. He could throw gas, man. Easy 80 fastball. He touches 100 miles an hour pretty damn frequently. His power curveball, slider mix. It's got a lot of downward break and bite away from the righties. It's a nasty pitch. He also has a changeup too, and he gets lefties out with that. Pretty much uses it exclusively against lefties. The command, he's always going to walk a lot of guys, but I mean, he throws gas, and he's a potential guy. We talked about him on the prospect, on the Twins podcast guy. He's a potential guy that could steal some late inning saves down the second half of the season for you. So, wouldn't be that surprising.
He's a guy that I think if you are going to speculate on saves in Minnesota, I mean, obviously Kinsler is probably going to be first up, and who knows what Glenn Perkins is going to look like.
Torn labrum is kind of questionable.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time he's had the torn labrum either. So, you know, Chargois or I can't pronounce it either.
Right? Yeah, I'm going to go with Chargois because it sounds fun.
So. You know, and I mean, French was actually my first language, so I should know how to pronounce it. But he's definitely a guy who fits the profile of what a closer could be. And, you know, the Twins are going to be one of those teams that probably only win games by one or two runs. So, if he is able to get it, he could rack up, you know, 20 saves or 20-plus saves. So he's definitely a guy that's worth speculating on, especially, like, in your deep draft and holds, you know, your 50-round drafts. I mean, he's a guy I would use a late pick on.
Twins have a couple of these guys in the bullpen that throw hard. They have Nick Birdie.
I've never been a big Birdie fan, though.
I'm not either. I think it's Zach Birdie. I think Nick Birdie's at the White Sox. Sorry about that. But, he's a guy, I know, a guy like that just throws hard. He's been groomed to be a closer, but you can only have one, and there's a couple guys that can fill that role, so we'll see. Jake Reed is a guy like that. They started accumulating a lot of hard-throwing guys in the bullpen.
It would be more of a, you know, what they kind of went through last year, where they had to put guy after guy after guy.
Yep.
You know, who finally sticks. You know, because I was a big Trevor May backer last year, and that
he's also still here.
And I mean, I think he probably would be first man up. You know, depending on what happens with Glenn Perkins, how quickly he comes back. I think it would be over the course of a little while. So like that's why I say like if you're gonna go invest in Chargois, it's definitely a dart throw. And it's probably for the second half.
I agree with this. Yep.
Anybody else that's close to the majors?
Daniel Pelka. He kind of reminds me of Steven Moya, but doesn't strike out quite as much. He's a corner outfielder, first baseman. Came over from Arizona in the Chris Herman trade, I believe. Like I said, power's the tool here. Decent hit tool against righties. He's probably a platoon guy. He's got 25-30 homer power if he plays all the time, but he might not hit for a strong average, and he's a decent defender in right field despite the size. So he's a guy to look for, but they also have Max Kepler out there, and I know how you feel about Kepler. So
my boy.
Yeah, he's interesting. Kepler's interesting, but I guess Pelka's Kepler insurance, and they might need that because Kepler is not a sure thing by any means.
But, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, what about guys who are maybe farther away but have some upside?
Well, I know everyone's going to ask about Nick Gordon, and spoiler alert, that's the guy I'm kind of down on from earlier we mentioned it. I think he's going to be a guy that fits the mold of better real player than fantasy player. I just think because the glove and the arm, the glove is above average. The overall arm strength is really strong for short. He doesn't have D. Gordon speed despite being, blood brothers. The speed is not plus. It's probably average, which kind of definitely limits the potential there. The power is virtually non-existent. I mean, he hits a lot of doubles, but a lot of that speed-aided doubles and triples due to the average speed and being a left-handed in the batter's box. But the hit tool is the above-average tool. The above-average hit tool and defense is a really, really good major league skill set for shortstop, but I'm just not sure in the fantasy realm, especially with the talent at the position now, that that's a very enticing option. I would put him a step below even where like J.P. Crawford was. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And J.P. Crawford isn't even the best fantasy asset either.
All right. Any other guys that are interesting to you that are a little bit farther away?
Alex Kirilov was their first-round draft pick this year. The left-handed swinger, right field profile, first base, 15-20 homer guy in the future for me. The hit tool is borderline plus. and it should be plus in time. I really like Kirilov. The swing is beautiful. Left-handed swing, balance, strays right through the zone really quick. He's an average runner. He's going to be a plus defensive player. Upside, like I said, probably 15 homers, 15, 20 homers and 12 to 15 steals with 280, 290 averages. So that's a valuable player. Cole Calhoun-ish, I guess, is kind of a good way to put it. I don't really like Calhoun particularly that much, but I mean,
Kirilov offers. I'm not a Calhoun kind of guy, but
Kirilov offers a little more upside just because I think Calhoun is obviously the floor is not making the major leagues, but like realistic floor, meaning like what happens if he reaches the majors, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think a realistic floor for Kirilov is Calhoun.
Okay, that's not bad.
No, Tyler J. Former reliever out of U of I, was a starter, University of Illinois, was a starter. Now he's back with the Twins. He's a starter there again. Low 90s fastball from the left side, tops out at 96. When he's in relief, the fastball touches 98. So, I mean, a lot of guys start dinging on prospects like that. He actually is the rare guy that might have more fantasy value if he was a reliever. Because as a starter, I think he's a mid-rotation guy. But, I mean, if he's in the bullpen, he's going to have 2-plus pitches. And as a starter, I mean, he has a 4-pitch arsenal. As a starter, he's going to have 4 average ones with maybe 1-plus, but in the bullpen, he's going to have 2-plus and 2 average. You know what I mean? So in the role of Minnesota, he's a mid-rotation ceiling because the arm slide, he has struggles against – he has a little bit of slightly platoon issues. The changeup needs to come along and be a little better. I project it to be average, but right now it's not. I want them to keep him in the rotation just because he'll develop his pitches more, and then if you move him to the bullpen, just do it when he gets to the major league level. Because in the minor leagues, using all of your repertoire is better, because if you get to the bullpen in the minors, you know, just like in the majors, you're more likely to focus on one or two offerings, and your other pitches will just kind of fall by the wayside. I want them to keep Jay in this role until he gets to the majors and they figure out what to do with him. I know he has experience in the bullpen in college, and I know that they might lean that way and try to throw him in that context. I really hope they don't. Also, but I don't think the ceiling is that high as a starter either, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's more valuable for the Twins, but from a fantasy realm, I think he actually is more valuable as a reliever. Because you can find 3-4 starters anywhere. They're on your waiver wire in your 20-team leagues. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not 3-4 starters in fantasy, but real-life 3-4 starters are on the waiver wire everywhere. And that's kind of what he is going to be. But if the fastball slider combination out of the bullpen will play up, and that'll be that. Hopefully, that's the long term role, but not short term. If that makes sense.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'm really, really, really in love with Steven Gonsalves. He's kind of a weird guy, being that he has from the left side 6'5", 210, sits 90-93, gets it up to 96. I'd call that plus-plus from the left side. The command is outstanding. I don't want to drop this comp on him because he's got better stuff than this, and he's not this type of pitcher like in the whole skill set, but he's like Kyle Hendricks in that he gets – you just can't square him up. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
He pitches to the corners, so he doesn't throw enough strikes as he should, but it's effective. I mean, a quick glance, I know ERA is not the best stat to, you know, use to judge pitchers, but Gonsalves last season threw up a 2.06 ERA in high A and double A in 140 innings, had 155 strikeouts, and opponents hit 179 off of him. Had 86 hits allowed in 140 innings. He just gets – and he's not particularly a ground ball guy either. He actually gets more fly balls than ground balls. It's just the contact is – you can't square him up. He's deceptively wild. He did walk 57 guys in 140 innings, so that's obviously not a good thing. But I think he has the highest ceiling of any pitcher in this organization, ahead of Tyler J, because I think Gonsalves is going to stay a starter, and he's got the fastball, and the changeup is probably going to be plus, and the curveball – should push average, and that'll get him enough. Those three pitches will be enough for him with his command. When it improves, like I think it will, to be a high-end 3-starter that gets a lot of strikeouts but might walk too many guys, if that makes sense. I think he's going to limit hits. It's just going to matter. Just going to matter how that defense in Minnesota plays for him. So we'll see. I like Gonsalves a lot.
Any other guys worth talking about?
Yeah, Fernando Romero is an arm. I don't really know too much about him, admittedly. Kind of popped up on the radar. He had Tommy John. He just came back in June. So, I mean, he didn't pitch in 2015. Fastball is 93-96 from the right side. Touch is 99. Which is his best pitch. It's a plus-plus pitch. The slider is the best in the organization, according to the Twins people. So hopefully he can regain that when he comes back and gets more innings. The changeup is what pitch that might set him back. Again, just like every pitcher that's, 20 years old. He's 22, Romero. Like I said, he missed some time with Tommy John. The command is average, I think. The floor is probably a dominant late-inning reliever because of two-pitch mix. But I think the ceiling, he's a number two starter because of strikeouts. So Fernando Romero is a guy I'm sure is probably not owned in your league because he's an off-the-radar guy. He missed a whole season in 2015. And only pitched a half season last year, so he'll be a guy you're going to be able to sneak under the radar of a lot of people to grab. Cole Stewart is the guy I'm totally out on. The strikeouts are just not there. I think absolute best case scenario, he was the fourth overall pick in 2013, so they used a lot on him. And I think the best case scenario is Mike Leake, and that's not exciting. He throws harder, but the strikeouts are just not there. He gets ground balls, which is fine. It's a good major league skill set. But for fantasy, you need some sort of strikeouts, and he's pushing 6/9. Like it's not a lot. That's not enough to play, I don't think. You know what I mean? I think that that's too few. He's like a Josh Tomlin strikeout rate.
He was a guy I was really high on when he came out in the draft, and just never seemed to develop into what a lot of people thought he would.
Yeah, a guy that's also probably available in your leagues because he missed. He hasn't thrown a pitch actually since 2014. He missed 2015 and 2016 with a myriad of injuries. Lewis Thorpe, the Aussie from the land down under. I should not have done that. That was a terrible accent. He's only 21 though, despite missing that 2 years. He's got 2+ pitches in the fastball and changeup. He also has a curveball and a slider that should be average pitches. I mean, the command was average before he got hurt, so hopefully the command comes back, and that's normally the last thing that comes back after, Tommy John and stuff. So we'll see. We'll find out this year. But, I mean, I think he's got mid-rotation upside with potential to be more because, I mean, they're going to have to push him now. 6'1", 160, so there's a little bit of meat to put on the frame. He's a guy that's worth scooping up in, longer, deeper leagues. They have a couple athletes they drafted, Lamonte Wade, Akil Badu, above-average bat speed guys, both of them are. Above average raw power for both of them. I don't think Wade hits for power because the swing kind of produces more ground balls. He gets a lot of doubles because of the speed. But Badu has above average raw. He was a second round pick this year in the draft. Badu is a 30 steal guy. He's limited to left field because of the arm. The hit tool is the question there, but it's worth gambling in deeper formats. Wander Javier was a big international bonus kid. He got $4 million from the Twins two Julys ago, which is pretty nice. Both the power and the hit tool have a chance to be above average. The hit tool is actually rumored to be plus when he develops, which would be extremely nice for a shortstop. He's going to stay there. He has a strong, accurate arm, can play third if he has to move. So Wander Javier is a guy that's worth investing in, but he's also only 17. So it's going to be quite a while till he's back and ready to contribute for you. So keep that in mind. But other than that, there's a couple of guys with utility ceilings. Travis Blankenhorn, third base, first base, second base, kind of util guy. Above average hit tool, average power, the defensive tools and the speed aren't really going to be factors. Angelb Vilma, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. It's E-N-G-E-L-B, Vilma. He's a defensive first, speed second, shortstop. So he's got a really high floor because he's going to get the playing time. But he's a real small dude, switch hitter. Hit above average hit tool, but no power to speak of. Below average hit tool and no power to speak of. Not the best fantasy tool, but he can run, and the defense is going to make him play. So he will get some time. The Twins, though, man, the system's better than the previous issue we just did with Detroit. But Minnesota, for being where they are in the major league level, with Berrios and – I mean, admittedly, Berrios, Buxton, and Kepler are up. But you would think the system would be better, and it's unfortunately it's not. Huascar Ynoa, Lachlan Wells, Felix Jorge, young pitchers that are a little bit away that throw hard, developing off speed and command. So keep an eye on them. Zach Granite's a plus defensive center or right fielder probably, with he can steal some bases. He's around. I like Mitch Garver, but he's a catching prospect, and I do not own catching prospects. I will not do it. There's like two guys, and there's like two catching prospects I'll own, and we actually haven't covered either one of them yet in the prospect pods. Well, yeah, we did. We covered Zach Collins for the White Sox, so I'll go on him, but I think he's a catcher, and I'm doing air quotes right now, which isn't effective on a podcast, but you get the idea.
One guy that I didn't hear you mention, and maybe I just missed it in passing, what about Lewin Diaz?
I'm not real big on first base only.
And he's probably DH only.
Yeah, first base only is a stretch, you're right. I think he's a lefty masher. Depending on what size league, I mean, I know you're in a 30-team league,
mm-hmm.
so that might have value there. But the raw power is plus-plus. The hit tool has a chance to be average. And as a 20-year-old, I mean, he did put up really, really good numbers in the Appy League, which is – I mean, I'm probably overlooking him. But I don't really get first-base prospects that excited about – I don't get that excited about first-base prospects either, so –
yeah, which I understand, but there is kind of a shallowness to the position right now. And so a guy that could be a 30 home run bat, you know, and I've heard better, you know, I've read better things about his hit tool than I think you have. You know, as a guy who could actually have a decent hit tool. So I don't know. I think he's a guy, you know, like you said, I'm in a 30-team league where each team gets, you know, 100 roster spots. Only 25 of those are for the major league system. And so, I mean, you know, 3,000 players are rostered in this league.
Yeah,
so,
he's definitely going to have value in that league.
You know.
I think, and I probably sold him a little bit short. The profile is not that exciting because, I mean, the first base, but he has raked every level, and that's all you can ask. Because first base prospects have to rake every level they go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has done that. And one other guy I would like to mention a little bit, he's a catching prospect again, so take the caveat with that. Ben Rortvedt, what he is a defensive first catcher, which, okay, you know, that's not a fantasy asset, right? But he has potential to have an average hit tool, above average power, and he's not a total drain on the bases either. So, I mean, he can be a league average bat that happens to play catcher, and that's extremely valuable.
Hmm.
Yes, he's a long time away.
Oh, he's 19. He's not going to be up anytime
soon. No. Yes, he's a long time away, but, I mean, he's a dart throw if you're in a league like that.
Yeah.
So, like, with the catching way the catching position is, I mean, I'm not going to even try to project the catching position in 4 or 5 years when Rortvedt's relevant. But in the last 4 or 5 years previous to this, it hasn't really been a good position either. So, I mean, he could provide some value.
All right.
But I think ultimate upside is like a poor man's Russell Martin.
That's not bad. I mean, you know, especially in a deeper format. So,
definitely not. But other than that, I mean, like I said, the Twins system you think would be better considering where they're at the major league level. But a lot of what their future depends on Kepler and Buxton and Jose Berrios.
They've had a lot of graduations, and they need those guys to kind of come through.
You still in on Buxton?
I think I am.
Yeah, I'm a little bit down on him. We look at his ADP numbers this year. He's going way too early.
I think he's going a little bit too early, but I also think that I think he's a guy that if he starts off slow, you'll be able to acquire him pretty easily.
He's not
a guy I'm necessarily looking to draft unless I'm in a league where people have, you know, a little bit of prospect fatigue and things like that. But he's a guy that I'd be looking to acquire after a slow start.
Yeah, I'm with you. That September was intriguing last year.
And that's the thing. Like, people are really buying in on that September. You're also pitching, or you're also hitting against, like, a little bit worse quality pitching.
Oh, you definitely are. That's very fair.
You know, and so, I mean, I want to see him, you know, if he struggles in spring training, if he struggles early on, maybe then he's a guy I try to go acquire on the cheap. But in terms of, you know, what you're having to pay at the draft table right now, I think is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I mean, I'll wait.
Speed kills, you know, and he's got it.
I'll wait three rounds and grab Keon Broxton. But
yeah, that's me. I will too.
All not right. If you're in a league with me.
Well, thank God in our Dynasty League I already have Keon Broxton. But maybe we can talk about that after. Let's wrap this episode up and we'll talk some trades.
Good.
You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Definitely read Matt's accompanying pieces on FriendsOfFantasyBenefits.com and all the content on FriendsOfFantasyBenefits.com. Articles going up, podcasts on there, ranks on there that are updated pretty consistently. I think there's going to be a number of us, including you and I, on Fantasy Pros ranking over there. Yeah. So that's going to be really cool, and a lot of other cool stuff going on at FriendsOfFantasyBenefits.com. Definitely give us a 5-star review. Really helps us out. And if you do so and send it to us via a screenshot on Twitter or send a copy to email at friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com, I'll make sure you get in a listener league or entered in to win other prizes later on in the off season. Thank you for listening. For Matt and myself, have a fantastic baseball season.